And back with it, it's another edition of Tony Talk on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. Our conversations with the Hall of Fame manager, Tony La Russa, all season long. Brought to you by Marie Davila Senior Living, Triad Bank, Greenville University, Victory Men's Health, and the fine folks at Be The Match. And the calendar is flipped to October. It's a special time of year all around baseball, but especially in St. Louis. I would think, Tony, when I say October, the fact the Cardinals are playing in it, you can't help but, even though you're not in the dugout here, get a little revved up.
Well, absolutely. I mean, this is the most exciting time because it's the most urgent time. You know, you don't have to fabricate. These games mean something. You know, during the season, you can try to get your guys all fired up because you want to play in October. So by definition, this is the time that excitement's at its highest for the fans and for the player. The stakes are there. They want to win the short series, 3 out of 5, the best of 7 to get into the World Series. It's all there, and there's going to be one team standing, and it's the best motivation there is.
You were fortunate enough to manage 128 postseason games. I'm sure you probably remember each one individually. How about the first? You're in Chicago, and I think about this because for Mike Shildt, done it at the minor league level, but his first time in the big leagues in the dugout. What do you remember about that first one with the White Sox?
You're right, I do remember it, because at that we laugh about it now. The format in 1983 was best of 5 to go to the World Series. And it's kind of a joke now. It shows you how far back it was. But we played the Baltimore Orioles, and we played the first two games in their park and the next three at our park. And I can remember, you know, just thinking, you know, in my years prior to that, when I was major league manager, I would always go to the postseason, ride the bus with a group, and to go wherever the World Series was or the National League or American League Championship was. And you sit through all the baseball guys, and, you know, they're second-guessing everything, and I'm thinking, boy, I wonder if I'm going to ever be in that position. So as I got close to it, my first thought was one of a personal panic. Oh, man, it just means that these baseball guys, you know, I really wasn't that worried about being on TV and, you know, millions of people watching it, but I thought about my peers, that they would be scrutinizing every move I made. And I was almost, I wasn't paranoid, but I was hoping that that I didn't do something that later on we would all, in the bus back, they would say, what the heck was that guy doing, man? And why is he thinking about it? So it's nerve-wracking, but here's the answer, and this is something I'm sure Mike will do. You just get lost in the game, and your responsibility as a coaching staff to put guys in their best position to win, and you'd be surprised how little you think about anything else other than your game decisions.
And we mentioned the 128 postseason games, 92 of those in St. Louis. Just an astounding number of October games you were a part of. And I guess for Mike Shildt, I wonder if, and it's your advice to give, not mine, but I wonder if it's, hey, you just enjoy it because there may not be next year or the next series. Like you have to, you're competing, but I would think you got to take it in a little bit.
Well, if you watch the Cardinals in this run, and I think a lot of folks have talked about this, but I remember when they first got into the first position in the standings, everybody in baseball was looking at their schedule coming down in September and thought, oh, my gosh, they can't survive this. I mean, it was compared to everybody else, it was unfair. They had Washington, they had Cubs 7 times and on for, you know, so forth and so on, Milwaukee. I mean, it was just a really difficult schedule. And so I think when you watch them play the games, it was obvious that they were into it and they were having fun with the pressure and the fact that they were successful. And I think that's a real big plus for them going into first game in Atlanta, is that they have already been experiencing the enormity, the pressure of having to win to go forward and embracing the pressure and having fun with it.
And they've got a horse in Jack Flaherty, young guy, but he's been just tremendous the last couple of months, historic really, in how good he's been. As a manager, anything you have to say or caution a younger player to get him ready for that moment?
I just think that as a club, you know, they're young, a lot, very young in a lot of places, and they got a couple of great veterans. I just think that your biggest advantage was that you played your way in. You literally got in the last day of the year. If there's ever a good omen in 06 and 11, we got in the last day. And the fact that they had to win to keep going forward and creating that opportunity on that Sunday is a huge plus because they succeeded. You know, my only regret, well, I wish they'd have won a game or two, you know, like in Arizona, because they could have saved Jack and had him pitch first game. But he didn't pitch a second game. It's, you know, so it's a best of five. I just think that Atlanta is a really difficult team to play against, and it's going to be a great competition. But I think our club is going to embrace it, and they'll look at, you know, in the end, you respect the other side, but you look at what you have, and you think, hey, we're tough to play against as well.
And they've got a loaded lineup in Atlanta, got a deep rotation, solidified the bullpen a bit with Melanson, maybe a team that the rest of the country doesn't pay a lot of attention to. You know, the Nationals are still a big name, even though they finished behind the Braves. The Phillies have Bryce Harper, but they finished behind the Braves, 97 wins. You think Atlanta people are sleeping on a little bit?
Well, I think Atlanta's getting – it just depends. You know, I can't speak for fans because, you know, there's so much sometimes dramatics about some players or the number of home runs that are being hit. But the baseball people know how legitimate Atlanta is. And the fact last year they got in and they were 2 or 3 years ahead of where they thought they would be because their young guys came so fast. And this year they've won 90-some games, and that's a very difficult division. You mentioned, you know, Washington, and you mentioned Philadelphia. Look at the Mets. You know, they were no easy club to play against. Even Miami, you know, the second half of the year, Don Mattingly had them playing very well. So they're tough. I think, you know, their rotation is good, but, you know, you look at what the Cardinals' rotation is doing, and that's one edge that you have. You know, if you can pitch, you got a shot, and the Cardinals can pitch.
And we joked a little bit about how it used to be the CS was a best of five. You play all year. Well, now you've got the DS, which is a best of five. Is there any thought in baseball where those would be a seven-game series to take? And then it pushes you into November, I guess, but has that ever been thought about?
Well, I'm sure everything's been thought about, Martin, and it's been discounted. It's just like, I remember the first couple of years that nobody liked the one-game wild card playoff. Well, you know, I think a lot of people, I'm listening now, a lot of people like this, the pressure of win or we're gone, you know. But if you wanted to play two out of three is what I kept hearing, well, then you push the division winners back another 2 or 3 days, which is not fair to them, and just gets longer and longer. So I think this is the ideal formula, and the division series, best of five, it's a good enough test to where the best team should win.
Your job in Boston, you see the Yankees a ton. I'm sure you've seen the Astros quite a bit, two of the premier teams. What's it going to take for somebody to take out of Houston to beat a Yankees team?
Well, both lineups are so dangerous that here again, and this is something that you expect to face. You don't always have it, but you expect to face good pitching, whether it's starting or relieving when you get to October, because normally it's hard to get there. But with both those lineups being so dangerous, and, you know, don't discount Minnesota. Minnesota's walking into the Yankees, and they're very, very confident that they can hit with anybody, and they've got legitimate pitching. So I think, you know, whoever plays, whether it's, you know, you mentioned those teams in the American League, pitching will nullify good hitting. And if the guys just step up on the mound, whether they're the starters, you know, whoever comes out of Oakland or Tampa Bay, and then the relievers just step up. You pitch the best, you win.
Do you manage different in the playoffs? I mean, we see guys with a quicker hook. Bullpens seem to become more and more prominent in October, earlier in games. Is it a different game if you're a manager?
Well, the one reason you like it so much is that, you know, you're not saving anything for the next series or next week, or you're not trying to show patience. You go, you know, at that point, you know who's hot, who's been coming through for you, whether it's pitchers or players, and you go with them. I do believe that you have to understand as a manager the urgency of the moment, and if you see a, you know, by then, you know, you have a good read on your pitchers, and that's one thing we did in 11. You know, by the time we got to the playoffs, you know, a Kyle Loesch who had worked so hard, a Kyle McClellan, you know, Jaime Garcia, those guys had reached so deep into their strength that they just didn't have as much stamina. So when you see them start to falter, you got to get them. I think that's very important. But at the same time, offensively, I really was taught, and we really advocated, you know, don't go up there with your bat in your hand and expect to make anything happen. When in doubt, be aggressive.
Do you buy into underdog status? Does a team, you know, if you look and all the pundits say, oh, yeah, they got no chance. I mean, does that resonate in the room?
The only way it resonates is that the team that they're playing against underestimates them. And that sometimes happens. You know, you'll think, oh, I mean, I don't know. In 06, we won 83 games. When we played against the San Diego or the Mets later on, you know, or even against the Tigers, they say, well, 83, man, they got some strength, but they got a lot of problems. I think the only way it makes sense is if the team you're playing against underrates you, and that's a big mistake to make. Even during the regular season, any team can beat anybody else if they're not ready to play.
Do you give a speech? We saw Mike Shildt in the postgame on Sunday. They're celebrating. He actually toasted the team a little bit, said we got three more of these to go. How often did you, in a clinching situation, celebration, did you get in and address the team?
There's always something that you want to highlight. My most noteworthy one was that in 2002, before we popped champagne, we were making sure that we all remembered Jack and Daryl. But at that point, you know, the guys are waiting to go crazy. I saw what Mike had to say, and I think, you know, he's continues to set the table for the team that, hey, this is going to be great, but we got more to do. The more important meeting you have is the one tomorrow, before the first game of the series. And that's one where, you know, you want to say something important, but you don't want to take too long. And you've had a whole year to figure out and read your team and what works the best. And clearly, Mike has a way of connecting with his team, and he'll be ready to do that.
I seem to recall a lot of those champagne celebrations that you kind of were in the corner watching it. You like to take it in, but weren't always – I mean, sometimes the guys came after you, the Tavares is the world, but it seemed like you just kind of enjoyed to watch them enjoy it.
Yeah, that's a big part of it. I mean, no doubt about it. It's their time, but it wasn't that I ever got tired of them, because they actually get better and better. You don't get tired of it. You know, it gets better. But one other thing, too, and I hate to admit it, when you get older, that cold water, you know, that your heart stops. And I didn't want to pass out on the spot. But the big part was, you know, we did that, as you noticed, and so did Mike, you know, and most teams. When you win a game to put you into, whether it's division series or whatever it is, and the players are dogpiling, you probably don't wait until, you know, you wait till the players celebrate before you enjoy as a team.
It's funny you mentioned the age, because Adam Wainwright was being interviewed the other day. He's the older guy in the room now. He's like, ooh, that is cold. And I was thinking the same thing. When you're 22, 23, you probably don't feel it at all. We'll come back. Some questions for Tony and one of our great sponsors, Amy from Victory Men's Health, will fire away at the Hall of Fame manager when we come back. Be the Match, a great organization, now a proud sponsor of Tony Talk, our weekly visits here with the Cardinals Hall of Fame manager. Be the Match has gotten a lot of attention of late because Layla, the Blues superfan, has gotten a lot of attention. And her story, you know what it is, needed a bone marrow transplant. Here's what takes place. Every 3 minutes in the United States, someone is diagnosed with a blood cancer. They turn to the family first, but 70% of the time, the family isn't a match. In the case of Layla Anderson, the superfan for the Blues, she needed a bone marrow transplant. They went to the registry. That's what Be the Match is all about. They have the donor registry. She got the call. Her family found out she had a match. She had a donor. It saves lives. Be the Match is really a community. It's donors. It's volunteers. It's healthcare professionals. It's researchers. You can get involved. BeTheMatch.org/give. You can make a donation so they can continue the great research they're doing, helping save lives. That's what Be the Match is all about. We appreciate them being a sponsor on Tony Talk.
Since 1960, serving the families of St. Louis, Marie Davila Senior Living. At the corner of Clayton and Wideman Road, the beautiful fountain greets you for the 22-acre campus. Full range of senior living. Independent living at the Villa Estate. Skilled nursing, memory care. They have it all. Spacious dining room, salon, transportation around town, exercise and pool, private rooms, hands-on care. You're not a resident at Marie Davila. You are considered a guest. Fred and Mary Kay Weezahan and their sons live on site. It is family run, and it has that family feel. You've heard Tony and I talk about how this was home for the legendary Red Shandings for many years. He was also on the board and helped the original owners start Marie Davila back in 1960. MarieDavila.com. We suggest you go online and schedule a tour.
It's Tony La Russa for my friends at Victory Men's Health, where they can help you be you again. If you're dealing with low T, ED, or vitamin deficiencies, make sure to see my friends at Victory Men's Health. They now have two locations, O'Fallon, Illinois, and the new addition in Town and Country. Both offices feel more like a man cave than a clinic. So get yourself back in the game by setting up an appointment at victorymenshealth.com.
One of our great sponsors on Tony Talk, Triad Bank, the neighborhood-friendly bank located in Frontenac on Clayton Road. They're just west of Lindbergh. Real easy access off Highway 64. Get to Lindbergh and you are there. Founded in 2005, a wide range of commercial and personal banking services. And how about this? They actually have people behind the counter, people there ready to greet you, ready to help you. Business owners looking to expand, talk to the bank based in St. Louis. Those decisions are being made here. How frustrating is that? You're trying to get a loan for your business, and the decision is made in New York or Los Angeles, not with Triad Bank. You can find out more at triadbanking.com. Home equity lines of credit, five-star rated bank, $360 million in assets. Check them out, triadbanking.com. Less than an hour from St. Louis, it's Greenville University. Founded in 1892, this liberal arts institution offers pre-med, offers online student involvement. Yeah, that's right. They'll get involved in local businesses, immersed in the community. A great little town of Greenville, Illinois, less than an hour from St. Louis if you're looking to get away for college, but maybe don't want to go too far. It's right up the road from St. Louis. Great professors, really a great experience. Kids involved in the athletics, but again, everybody is really immersed in what they're doing on the campus at all times. Greenville.edu for more information about this great institution.
We appreciate all the communication all season long with the fans here on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com, our Tony Talk visits presented by our great sponsors, including the folks at Victory Men's Health. And I know Tony likes the questions that other people ask better than me. Amy Studdle with Victory Men's Health, now the two locations, Fairview Heights, Illinois, and Town and Country. And she needs no introduction to Tony. She calls him T. We've called him Skipper and TLR. Some call him the Load, but she simply calls him T. Amy, welcome to the program.
Hi, guys. How are you?
I am good. You know, Tony, I asked her to prepare questions, and she sends me a picture of a notepad. She said, I've already asked him all these questions, and they were outstanding questions. Maybe for our audience's sake, Amy, share some of those questions. We'll let Tony answer.
Yeah, Tony. So he said, you should ask Tony. Martin said, you should ask Tony some questions today. I said, I already asked him everything I want to ask him. And I sent him a snap screen of the notebook that I asked you those 10 questions at dinner a couple months ago.
Sure.
You know what I'm talking about.
I do.
You want me to ask him a few of those ones?
Sure. They were great questions, and I know Tony will say better than mine, so just fire off a couple that were on there.
Okay. Well, the one that you were most curious in was one thing on your bucket list.
Oh, on my bucket list? Well, yeah. It would be trips. Number one place I want to go to is Normandy, and tied for second would be I wanted to go to Spain where my mother was born and to Sicily where my dad was born.
We got a tied for second out of Tony. I don't think I've ever heard that before. This is good. I love that question. And then what was the other one you had? A failure you learned the most from? I thought that was really intriguing.
I'm not quite sure what I answered, but I know since we're talking about postseason baseball, the failure that resonated with me the longest would be my first trip to the postseason as a manager was 1983. We had won the division, and although we got beat by the Orioles and they went to the World Series and won. The next year, 84, I got caught up in a celebration of celebrating 83, and I did a really poor job of resetting to zero, which is something you have to do mentally and fundamentally. And we had a year where that division was there to be won. We didn't win it, and it was my fault.
All right, Amy, how about something else from your list?
Well, and one of the things that he said that night when we were at dinner is that every loss for him was an opportunity to learn something, which I loved that. And when I was rereading back through some of his answers, one of my favorites was when I asked, what motivated you? Was it fear, recognition, or money? And your answer was fear, but why it was fear hit home for me, if you want to answer that.
Well, I'll mention very quickly, as Amy hit the two of my favorites. One is, and this is a George Kissel and Dick Williams piece of advice that that really helped me throughout my career, and that is, you learn more from mistakes than you do from success, and your learning experience in baseball is right there. You'll see who made the mistake, who made the error, was there an execution breakdown. So you should always review what just happened and figure out what went wrong and why and how you fix it. The other thing is that, you can never achieve anything unless you put yourself out there. And sometimes you don't go and take the challenge, or you don't go as far as you possibly could because you have this fear of failure, whether it's personal or fear of letting down your team. And in the end, what you should do is you should fear more the embarrassment that you would take yourself. You look in the mirror and said you didn't have the guts to go for it. And so challenge yourself to go as far as you can.
And Amy, we appreciate you sponsoring the segments all season long. And remind folks the work you guys are doing every day at Victory Men's Health.
Martin, you should know that Amy does call me a low too, not okay. Just T.
Yeah, so not just T. I got to say, right. It depends on the day for me if he's the load or if he's skipper, if he's TLR. Who named you the load? Who had the balls to say that?
No, actually, back when I was a player coach in one of my three places, there was a player we had that, he was a beautiful guy, but he was kind of a load, and we all started calling him, you're a load, and then when I started managing, I called players low, and they said, no, you're the biggest low, which is the truth.
since you guys are talking about the postseason, I went to Game 7 of the World Series when Tony was managing on his ticket, and he had me sitting with probably the most interesting guest in the whole stadium. Do you remember who it is?
No.
Who I was with?
Was it
Neil Armstrong?
Neil Armstrong. Okay, I thought it might be
the first man to walk on the moon. Was at Game 7 of the World Series in Tony's seat, and it was a pretty incredible experience. Not only to see the win, but to be with the guy that walked on the moon is pretty crazy.
Nobody has a guest list like Tony.
Well, I don't know about that because that was very fortunate. Jim Hayes, a good friend that Bob Knight introduced me to Neil, but I do have one of my favorite pictures, and I'll send it to you so you can see it. Martin, we went to the night before we went to Tony's, and I have a picture where Neil's on my right and the most beautiful man in the world, Red Shaney, is to his right with a big smile on his face. So it was one of my most treasured moments, and anything that reminds me of Red makes it a very great day.
Amy, thanks so much for getting involved with the show. Appreciate it. VictoryMen'sHealth.com. Get to being you again. That's what we remind folks. Get online and then get an appointment, either Fairview Heights or the newest location in town and country. Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
Amy Stuttle with us. Victory Men's Health obviously knows Tony really well. Her list of questions, I'm going to borrow that and use it on other people because it was a great list. I think, Tony, as you get ready to celebrate a birthday, people wondering what's next, and we've talked about it. You plan on staying in the game, staying active.
It's a reality that I don't want to wake up and not have something to do. And the only thing I know how to do, I mean, I'm embarrassed to say that I'm not handy. I mean, that's what I was taught. That's what Yellow Pages are for. So all I know is baseball. It's all I've done my whole life, and I love it. And I'm actually concerned about the direction of the game in some ways. And I have a bunch of our guys think that, we can work to remind people of, the importance of scouts and of coaching and of understanding that heart beats during a game, and so I'm not degrading mathematics or formulas. I'm just saying that there's a place for them and there's a place to understand they're men, not machines.
We've been doing it all season long. We appreciate Victory Men's Health, Greenville University, Triad Bank, Marie Davila Senior Living, and the fine folks at Be the Match. Tony, I've enjoyed it a great deal. Whether we do it again next week, next year, whatever, I think people have really loved it. I appreciate you opening up and sharing the stories. And I got a tied for second. I didn't know that even existed in your lexicon. So we hope to talk to you soon, but all the best.
Well, thanks for the opportunity. Thank you. And fans, I'm sure you're enjoying the Cardinals, and they have, somebody's going to win, so why not them? Thank you.